Hey up, it's the No Nay Never podcast with your host, Jamie Smith.
Hello and welcome to this week's No Nay Never podcast. I'm Jamie Smith, and there's a full show today with a draw at Chelsea to talk about, and guests tonight are James, Jordan, Ian, and we've got a Chelsea fan with us as well, Joe, who hopefully we're not going to get too angry at on discussing some of the refereeing decisions. But we'll try and talk about the football generally before we come on to Ashley Barnes in particular. I'm sure there's a lot to say on that particular issue. So, Jordan, if we can focus on the football to start with before talking about refereeing decisions, Burnley were excellent again, weren't they, at the home of what's likely to be the season's champions?
We were, yeah. I thought we were fantastic. I remember saying last week, I have a firm belief that away from home, we seem to go away to these big grounds and these big teams, and we play without the pressure, without shackles, and as Darch would say, limitless. Really, we play without limits. That enables us to kind of play that carefree, expansive football. And it was always going to be a struggle dominating things like possession and passing and things against Chelsea. Of course, pack the midfield well, and they've got some capable passes of the ball. But I thought we were worth our point. Of course, they dominated most of the game, but no, it was another courageous, terrific performance from Burnley, and it was a really, really well taken out of by Ben Mee as well, who, ironically, for all we spoke about conceding goals, we've actually scored from a corner and kept out the opposition, which is, of course, a really pleasing change. A terrific header, and I thought it capped off a solid display from us once again.
I think it was quite clear that we've worked quite hard on set pieces during the little break, because we're very rarely troubled by Chelsea set piece, and obviously scored a goal of our own from a very well taken corner. So I think that's evidently something they've worked on. It makes you wonder why we didn't do it a bit earlier in the season. James, Paul Merson said that we deserve no credit for the draw at all, but if you look at the stats, it was quite an even game, and Courtois made two excellent saves to deny Ashley Barnes.
Possession wise, Chelsea have dominated, but
you'd expect that anyway, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and we saw last season, that was more or less the way we played. You know, we got dominated almost every game, possession-wise. But that was the style of football we were playing, and obviously we know how last season ended. I don't really know what Merson was trying to say. I mean, a lot of the other pundits, while obviously they've talked about the other incidents in the game and have been pretty damning in their appraisal, I think the consensus was still that actually the result of the game was deserved, and a point was what we should have been getting out of that game.
And that's two games in a row now where we've gone to Manchester United and Chelsea, and yes, we lost at Old Trafford, but I think we probably deserved more from that one, and it's really good to see that we can compete in these games despite Dean Marnie being injured. I think that's important we point that out, because a lot of people, me included, felt that was almost game over when Marnie was ruled out for the rest of the season. We've done a quick swap on our panel. Ian's internet's playing up, so we've brought Michael back in, who we'd told he could have the night off, but you can't have the night off after all. What did you make of Burnley's display on Saturday then, Michael?
It's a great display from it, I think, in terms of coming up against the best team in the league, far and away. And they've shown the real quality to go out there and grind out that result. I think we looked a lot better. We actually took the game to them at times, and that was really encouraging to see, because I expected us to go out and just sit back and invite pressure, which we didn't do. And I thought we were more than put ourselves about as well, and that got up Chelsea. And overall, it was just really encouraging. Great performance from the team, really.
Someone who certainly did put himself about a bit was Ashley Barnes, but we'll come on to that a bit later. Joe, Chelsea's home record has been fantastic for a long time now. I think it was 16 clean sheets from 20, something like that. It was only Manchester City got anything from Stamford Bridge this season, apart from Bradford. The sending off of Nemanja Matic probably is a turning point, isn't it? But were you a bit disappointed that Chelsea hadn't been able to put the game away before then?
I think, refereeing decisions aside, I think it's probably a very typical Chelsea game this season, that we kind of dominate possession, we pass the ball around well, but without Diego Costa being up to full speed, there's such a reliance on Hazard to sort of beat two or three people and stick it in the top corner. We don't really have that massive amount of kind of a goal threat in the final third. So, yeah, I mean, at kind of 1-0, I mean, you're kind of ignoring all the decisions at this point. You're thinking, you know, have we really done enough here to win the game? And I suppose the answer was no. I mean, we created the one really good opportunity for the goal. We had a couple of decent shots. Crosser had a few fairly okay efforts, but no, I mean, it was quite a typical performance this season. I mean, we flashed hot and cold after January, really. You know, brief patches we looked okay, other patches we were just sort of walking the ball around. I think that we're probably with this side in particular, there seems to be this kind of belief that they will just turn up and win games, but it's not really panning out that way. So whether Mourinho needs to shake things up a little bit, I'm not too sure, but it was almost, you know, sort of complacency, in particularly in the second half, how they were sort of playing, just expecting the ball to go in the net eventually. But ultimately, sending off, you know, was the turning point. And from then on, really, we were quite lucky to come away with a point.
Defensively, I thought Burnley were terrific, but there was a period at the start of the second half in particular where there were a lot of balls coming across the box and you were just expecting Costa to put those in. Is it just his suspension that's meant he's not as sharp as normal? We didn't really see him on top of his game on Saturday.
It's really strange because he takes about three games to get back up to speed. I mean, obviously he's kind of had a bit of stop start the beginning of the season with injuries, and they were managing him. That's sort of the fabled Costa hamstring sort of beginning of the season. But I mean, whenever he sort of has a rest, I mean, it takes him, you know, three, four games to get back up to speed again. So I mean, we're kind of almost having to play him, even though perhaps playing someone else might be a better option at this point, playing him into form. So I mean, yeah, I mean, he's still kind of sort of belligerent, and he throws himself about, and he's still a nuisance, but you don't have that kind of that sort of full package which you've seen quite a lot this season. He just sort of dominates defenders, entire back fours in some games when he's completely at it, just winding them up. And just probably the interesting thing is the one of the stats that flies around about him is that he still hasn't scored outside of the Premier League, but whenever he's in a cup competition, it's invariably after he's had sort of a significant layoff. PSG was a good example last week, where he played pretty well, but he was quite ineffective in front of goal. And yeah, probably the same in most of the cup competitions as well, where he's come back from a suspension or an injury and not really been sort of at sort of full capacity. So yeah, I mean, disappointing. I mean, he still sort of works his socks off, but you know, you're kind of expecting him to score pretty much every game he plays in. So we're just hoping from our perspective that he gets back up to speed.
It was obvious that he was a bit frustrated as well. I think he had a bit of a kick at Jason Shackle right at the end of the game that seems to have gone unnoticed with all the fuss about our players' indiscretions, which we will come to in a little while. But I want to talk about Burnley's defending for a bit as well, because we've talked about how amateurish some of the defending set pieces has been in the last few weeks, and I think it's important to acknowledge that we put a lot of those problems to bed on Saturday. Jordan, the way Shackle and Keane defended against Costa was excellent. They seemed to get in the way of everything, and Ben Mee as well, we've already mentioned the goal, but he was terrific as well.
Yeah, I think the back four deserve tremendous credit for their efforts on Saturday. Of course, Chelsea's attack is you know, one of the best in the league, and as you say, the way Keane and Shackle defended so stoutly against Costa, who is, as Joel said, you know, a robust striker who can wind defenders up, I thought they kept the Reds. You know, they're going to have the little kicks at each other, they're going to have those little swipes at each other, but I think that's part and parcel of the game, and I think Shackle's experienced enough to kind of deal with strikers of that ilk, and I think consequently Keane kind of, you know, followed that example in dealing with him. I can't really recall Costa having too many clear-cut chances, but you know, it just goes to show how well we defended, which makes, you know, a nice change, and you know, set pieces as well. We defended really well, and as I said, we didn't concede this week, which is a bonus for me, and we managed to score at the other end. So, funnily enough, from one of our defenders. So, as you said, it certainly seems to be that we've worked on set pieces a lot this week, and our defence seems to have really taken notice of what Dyche has been preaching on the training ground, and you know, we reaped the rewards of that on Saturday.
I just think it was a big turnaround from the United game, when every set piece that went into the box, it seemed to be causing havoc, and it was a case of they got a corner and you got behind the sofa because you were too scared to watch what was going on. James, we talked about set pieces a lot on the podcast recently, but it's obviously something that they have worked on in the break when everyone else was playing cup football, isn't it?
Looking back at recent games, set pieces have clearly been a weak point, both taking them, you know, and defending them as well. And so to come out of a game where you know, we scored from a set piece and managed to not concede from one, you know, shows that clearly things are moving in the right direction, and hopefully that's something that can stay the same when we're putting the sort of teams that are around us and, you know, where the points really matter.
It is vital, isn't it? Because set pieces can be cheap goals, really, at both ends of the park, can't they, Michael? So locking that down, if we can stop conceding from set pieces and maybe score one or two of our own, these are the little margins that we talk about that could make the difference at the end of the season.
Yeah, well, you only have to look back at the West Brom game and Crystal Palace. What did we concede wrong against Crystal Palace? Can't remember. Just awful. Anyway, yeah, West Brom and United, and when you're conceding easy goals from a set piece, like Smalling had the run of the park against us when we played United, and it's very rare you could say that about Chris Smalling. So to be able to cut them type of mistakes, it's not like we're never going to concede from a set piece again, but just tightening up them little margins, and that at the end of the season, that could be the difference between staying in this league and going down, essentially.
There's a lot of games to come, but hopefully that'll be a trend that continues. Our defending of set pieces being much improved. I suppose the time has come that we are going to have to talk about referees. Jose Mourinho very cleverly manipulating the media, as he always does. He has got them wrapped around his little finger with his minute 30, minute 33 stuff. But we'll probably start with Joe, because he's probably got the most strident views on the refereeing decisions. Joe, what was your view of some of the incidents that Jose brought up after the game?
I mean, I really despise this sort of reliance by a lot of fans looking at referees for the reasons why we have it more in games. But I can't remember, well, actually probably can, the last time I saw something like this, a similar kind of performance, was probably when we got stuffed by Barcelona with Ovrabo as a referee. I mean, it was just absolutely ridiculous. The first flying kick from onto Ivanovic was insane. I mean, how it didn't draw a yellow card, I'm not entirely sure. I think Mourinho, that probably set him off there. The two penalties, you know, even if you were to say get one of them, one, you know, the handball, I think was pretty clear. The push on Costa, I mean, you know, it's the contact was there. I mean, he's pushed him with two hands onto the ground. Again, I'm not sure really what's with the debate there. And the incident that led to Matic getting a red card, you know, I think the lad has gone through the ball, Barnes, and left one really, really high on the near Matic. And I suppose the thing that's telling that Matic is probably the calmest player I've ever seen at Chelsea. I mean, he had a goal disallowed against Everton just before we scored the week prior. And, you know, he's running up to the linesman, and he's just had a goal disallowed in like the 88th minute. And instead of berating him, he's sort of smiling as if to say, okay, fair enough. And to see him actually react in that manner, I think was probably pretty telling in terms of the sort of severity of the tackle. I'm amazed that Atkinson said he looked at it and didn't deem it a foul. You know, this isn't really Burnley specific. I think this is probably something I would say for most teams, most players, is that was, you know, it was not really an acceptable challenge, and Matic's reaction probably really was warranted. You know, it's not from a player who, you know, I don't think Matic has been sent off at Chelsea. I don't think he's got a history of red cards or anything along those sort of lines. So for him to jump up and react in that manner pretty much said it all. You know, I've read articles saying from former officials, Graham Pohl, however much that actually holds weight, because I think it was in the Daily Mail, but he was saying it's the worst officiating performance he's seen in the Premier League, and plenty of other people have said similar sorts of things. But, you know, it's, I think for Chelsea fans, I mean, you have this perception of being a big club and big club bias, etc. I think it's probably getting to a point now where Mourinho's almost, you know, weekly bringing up decisions that have gone against the club is almost kind of working against us, in that referees are so conscious about not appearing to crack up to Mourinho's mind games that they're almost ignoring blatant decisions. I mean, we've had a penalty at Southampton, which on Fabregas, which was pretty obvious. First game of the season where Costa got booked for diving when he was fouled for a penalty against you chaps. I mean, there's loads of instances. I know he sort of went on a massive rant on Goals on Sunday about them. But, I mean, you know, you expect the decisions to go back and forth this season, and they do eventually even themselves out. But, you know, again, not being one who really likes leaning on stuff like that, the actual inconsistencies with what we've seen. I mean, I think we've had two penalties all season. he does have a point, which is quite crazy, because you don't really want to sort of think that there's a kind of subconscious element to refereeing, whatever. But I think that this was, you know, the Burnley game was probably the culmination of several moments this season when Mourinho has been sort of apoplectic with rage after games. These are professional referees now. I mean, the fact that you can't see a handball decision from looking right at it, or, you know, the push, you know, you could probably argue is a subjective matter, whether you think there was enough force for Costa to go down, etc. But I mean, the handball was clear as day. And the tackle, again, if you're looking directly at it, you know, I'm very, very keen on games being competitive, and I quite like, you know, tough tackling midfielders, etc. But to look at it and then give a throw in was I just sort of really was confused, and even more so, I mean, looking at it when I got back home. So, yeah, I mean, I think he got all four of them wrong. You know, and it's difficult to say what the outcome of the game would have been, but, you know, had there been, you know, a yellow card, I don't think the first one was a red card, like Mourinho was saying. The kick on Ivanovic, it was definitely a yellow for me. But the, you know, the penalty decision, 2-0 at half time, you know, if you're saying you're scoring one of the penalties, or if you score 2-3-0, I think it's pretty much game over at that point. So, you know, I think he's just basically now he's got to the point where he feels he's got enough ammunition to come out and point these things out. And, you know, far from being sort of like a crab people conspiracy, which I think a lot of people are pointing out at Mourinho, you know, he does actually have a point with some of these instances. Over the course of the season, I stress again that these things should even themselves out. But currently, I'm not entirely sure they are. And whether it's Mourinho's, you know, his own work with the pressure he puts on referees and them almost consciously reacting against it, I'm not entirely sure. We're definitely not getting the decisions that you would probably expect, particularly, you know, playing at home. Yeah, I mean, he, you know, sort of ranting myself here, but he has a point. Whether it's, you know, to sort of cover up the fact that he wasn't happy with the performance. But I think it's happened so many times this season that, you know, you can always look at your own players and say, you know, we should be scoring more, we should be doing better. But I mean, ultimately, if you've sort of earned a penalty, or, you know, you've kind of drawn a foul in the area, then you're expecting the referees to call, you know, what they're seeing, rather than going with players' reputations. I mean, Costa is the biggest case here. I mean, when he came over to the country, there were articles before he'd even kicked a ball about his behaviour and all stuff like that. I mean, if you're a referee reading that, I don't know how you can't subconsciously take that into consideration. And, you know, again, going back to the first game, first time there's a 50-50 sort of decision where he's been fouled by a goalkeeper, you know, he gets booked for diving. So, I mean, it's, you know, I don't really want to head down that. It's a campaign, you know, all that kind of nonsense that quite a few fans seem to be quite happy to tack onto. But, you know, Mourinho is correct. It's just baffling, I suppose. Yeah, so I've literally gone for about 10 minutes there, but
it has gone a bit like goals on Sunday with you and Jose.
Yeah,
Mourinho,
full Jose Mourinho rant there, but I don't know if
interesting points
yet.
There, particularly about Mourinho's mind games potentially counting against him. Quite a lot to go out there, James. If we can start with you, if we take the Barnes on Matic incident to start with, what was your view of that one?
It's just never a foul, in my opinion. It's never.
Excellent. I knew that was going to be good.
I just, you know, maybe I'm harking back to days significantly before I was born, but, you know, he wins the ball and the momentum of his follow through takes him into Matic, who's not really that close to him when Barnes wins the ball. So, you know, and then Matic's response, it's just not even defendable. There's just no way you can raise your hand to someone on a football pitch. You just can't do it. It's just not, it's not tolerated. It's not right. And any sort of notion that Mourinho had of saying they should be able to appeal that red card is ridiculous. In fact, just for the suggesting they should be able to appeal that red card, Mourinho should get a touchline ban. Because if he can't see that that's not acceptable, there's no place for him in football. It's as simple as that.
I mean, there was an exact replica of the same instance with Vertonghen the same weekend, and Vertonghen, nothing happened. I think that's what Mourinho's saying, is that Vertonghen, someone fouled a Tottenham player against West Ham, Vertonghen runs 30 yards, shoves a guy to the ground.
He should be sent off too. It doesn't make one not getting penalised.
Yeah, that is the rule, so if you raise
your
hands, that's it.
But the rule is if you put someone
through
the collar, it's the yellow card.
It's
the yellow card offence, though. I mean, he didn't punch a bloke in the face or strike him in the face. He pushed him in the shoulder quite, you know, he pushed him quite hard. But I mean,
He raised his hands. The intention's there. You know, it's like
the intention from Barnes.
Just to put it into, well, it's not because he wins the ball. He wins the ball by him. You can't see that. You know, I think fans of teams like Chelsea are pretty mollycoddled these days into thinking that the big team should get all the decisions, or you know, there's a conspiracy theory against them. When you, really, there's not.
It's nothing like just that. Any you know what I mean? Cannot excuse someone going for the ball and smashing someone in the knee. I mean, you can't do that.
The ball. He's followed through and Matic's got in the way. That's as simple as it is. There's no intent there. There's no maliciousness about that challenge whatsoever. And obviously you talked about Diego Costa the first game of the season. To be honest, my stance on diving is that I'd actually send people off, and I would have sent Diego Costa off because it was a dive. And there's no place for that in football.
You talk about
Ashley Barnes trying to break Matic's leg. If we're talking about people trying to break, you know, break people's bones, we should look at Diego Costa. You know, how many times has he done stuff this season that's completely unacceptable and got away with it?
Well, we could talk about Diego Costa and his crimes for the rest of the podcast, but we should try and move it on a little bit. The FA today, we're recording on Monday, the FA said that there's not going to be any action against Barnes for the incident. And I keep calling it an incident because I'm with James on this. I don't think we should call it a tackle because Ashley Barnes had the ball. But we can talk about it a little bit more. The FA said that in the vast majority of challenges for the ball, no retrospective action is taken as the incident has been seen by the match officials. The continued retrospective action introduced as deterrent for off-the-ball incidents, for example, kicks, stamps, etc., so Diego Costa stamping on people, committed out of sight of the officials. The whole game is in agreement that in the vast majority of cases, match officials are best placed to deal with incidents to avoid re-refereeing, and in line with this rationale, the FA confirms no further action in relation to Ashley Barnes as the incident was seen by the officials. We can talk about Mourinho on goals on Sunday. Jordan, if we can bring you in now, what was your view of the Barnes on Matic challenge / tackle / incident / whatever it was?
Well, firstly, I think I've seen the incident described as horrific. And I think that word alone carries these negative connotations that it was meant with intent. You know, if something's horrific, there isn't necessarily an intent behind it. There isn't necessarily malice behind it. I don't believe for 1 second Ashley Barnes has gone into that and thought, I'm going to have a stab at Matic here. I think Martin Atkinson has a decent view of it, but obviously not the best view. The best view would have been the one where I think we've pretty much all seen it from, where it's been, you know, vanned to death. From that angle, he has a better view. He plays the ball first, and then, you know, he goes through Matic. When you play a pass, you know, your foot naturally follows through the ball. There was no way Barnes could possibly withdraw his foot away in the space of time that Matic has come. So a clash was inevitable. I mean, I wouldn't call it a tackle myself either, because it was more of a pass, and then sort of the incident occurred. You know, I mean, if we're to call it a tackle, but Barnes wins the ball. I think what I will say as well is Matic's reaction was interesting, because, and for that matter, the whole of Chelsea team's reaction was interesting, because if you look immediately afterwards, there's no reaction, no appeals from any other Chelsea players. It's only until Matic, you know, kind of reacts to Barnes, you know, runs up to him, pushes him on the floor, that all of a sudden, you know, things become ignited. I think, and it's not in Matic's nature, I don't believe for 1 second, if Matic was to stay down, clutching his shin and you know, screaming in agony, I think Martin Atkinson then has a different decision to make. I think he would have perhaps given Barnes a yellow card, possibly a red, I'm not sure. But the fact that Matic, you know, being the size he is, you know, got up so quickly and, you know, went straight to Barnes, and raise his hands, you know, we know that that is a red card nowadays. So that is my view. I mean, of the other incidents, Barnes on Ivanovic was pretty rough, of course. You know, Shearer was talking about it on Match of the Day, and he knows he's in that Barnes mould again, that sort of robust striker who will throw himself about and aggravate defenders. But that was a bit over the top, I accept. And then the Costa decision, it's a 50-50 one for me. I think I'd like to think he goes over a bit too easily for someone of Costa's size. I spoke earlier about how Shackle and Keane were dealing with Costa and those little kicks and things. And I think in that respect as well, I think Costa's reputation has preceded him somewhat. If you, as Joe said back to the opening day when It did go down in the penalty area and nothing was given. Perhaps Martin Atkinson thought of that and thought, well, you know, he's done it once. I'm going to turn a blind eye to it. You know, I don't think it was a penalty. And then the Cartlian ball, you know, it obviously strikes his arm. His arm is way out from his side. I think that one isn't really up for debate. But the key one is Barnes and Matic. And that's my view, the fact that Barnes has played the ball perfectly well and that, unfortunately, as I said, there's no intent, there's no malicious there, but it is horrible. Don't get me wrong, you know, it's not nice viewing the footage back. It is horrible, but, you know, was it horrible? Yes. But was there intent? No, I don't believe so. He's played the ball, he's followed through, and he's caught Matic. And I think his reaction ultimately makes Martin Atkinson's mind up.
I think one thing worth adding on this incident as well is that Matic sort of comes from the side of Barnes. So I think the question really is, Does Barnes know that Matic is there? And if so, does he leave his studs in deliberately? And I think you can look at the footage time and time again, and it's difficult to call that. I don't think he's gone out to hurt Matic, but in my view, his studs were higher than necessary on a follow-through. So maybe he has left one on him a little bit, but I don't think he was going out to hurt him. And I think the Ivanovic one was actually worse. I think he could have easily been sent off for that one. Michael, if we can bring you in before we come back to Joe with some of the things we've said. The four decisions then, this is the two Barnes on Ivanovic and Matic and the two penalties. I think we're all pretty much in agreement that the handball was probably a penalty, but what was your view on Xhaka and Costa?
It's one of the tough ones where if it were the other way around and Barnes goes down in the box in the same tackle, I'm going to be calling for a penalty. Whereas when it's against your team, I'm saying, nah, he's gone down a bit too easily there. And I think that's the tricky decision.
Right. It's one of those 50-50s, isn't it? I'm at the same point on Twitter.
Yeah. And I think Martin Atkinson's got a tough decision in that situation where say Barnes is a big lad, Costa's a big lad, Shackle's a big lad. It's coming together and he's lost out there in that battle. Yeah, he could probably look and go, it could have been a penalty, it could easily be, at the end of the day. I think it was a tough decision and could have gone easy way, either way, but Martin Atkinson was having a shocker anyway, so it doesn't surprise me that he didn't give the penalty. With regard to the initial, that first half kick on Ivanovic, I think Barnes, he's gone in a bit heavy. He was trying to put himself about. We could all see that. He was trying to get in the faces of defenders, wind them up, but he took it a bit too far on that in that incident and probably should have got a booking. Like I say, and it could have been worse for him. Could have easily picked up a red for it, but I think a booking would have been fair in that situation. So he got off lightly there. I was surprised to not see him reprimanded. Going on to the other incidents, the sending off, I guess.
The tackle in inverted commas.
Yeah. I agree with what you, James and Jordan have said in that. I don't think it was a tackle. When I initially watched it, I was like, that's an absolute shock. How's he not been sent? And then rewatching it back and seeing it's a bit of a clumsy pass, if anything. And it looks a bit tired. Played a tight pass, he's left his foot up, and I don't think he's fully aware that Matic is coming in at that speed, and that's what makes the tackle look so much worse, because Matic's coming at speed, and then the connection's there, and watching it back in slow motion was pretty horrifying. Jordan said that word's got a lot of connotation with it, but it was quite shocking to watch it, and his legs got a bit of a bend, so I can fully understand why Matic has got up and is absolutely fuming, because at the end of the day, that could have ended his career, intentional or not, so I fully understand why he's done that. It's the wrong decision by him to get in to put his hands up. But I think in the heat of the moment, if I think someone's nearly broke my leg, and I've done it on the football pitch myself, when someone's flown in on me, and you can just lose it so easily. And Joe touched on it. Matic is normally a very calm player. He's one of the calmest I've seen on the pitch. So obviously something's flicked there when he's thought that this guy's tried to do me, but I don't think at all Barnes had any malicious intent on that. Other decision wise, I'd say there's a couple that haven't been mentioned. There was the Chelsea handball in the box, which could have been a penalty for us. Then the Costa kick on Shackle as well. So all around, it was just an awful performance from Martin Atkinson, then there's no other way of putting it. He should definitely sit out a couple of games because of that. We just seem to get we had the rub of the green on Saturday, and that's about it, really.
I'm sure most Burnley fans would say that's a welcome thing. And just a couple more things to point out on the Barnes and Matic incident. I think Jordan's right in that he says the reaction from Matic is quite telling in a way. He obviously feels like it was a very bad challenge, but the commentators even didn't really pick up on it until Matic reacted. Normally you'd get an intake of breath for a bad tackle like that from the stand. Like everyone goes, ooh, and sort of winces, but that didn't happen. None of the Chelsea players are trying to get Barnes sent off in that moment. It's the delayed reaction, I think, when Matic gets up. I think that's the funny one. That's why I suspect that it was not as bad as the replays make it. And let's face it, a lot of tackles look really bad on the replays. If we can move aside from the decisions themselves then and bring Joe back in, I don't know if you saw Jose on goals on Sunday, but it was quite extraordinary television, staggering really, the way he apparently manoeuvred himself into the programme. James Beattie got bumped for Mourinho to be able to go on and lay out all his grievances. And he called the Barnes challenge criminal, which was an interesting choice of words. What did you make of Mourinho's behaviour after the game?
I think from what I've read, there was a piece from Richard Keys that came out today where he was talking about it was Sky had actually planned for Mourinho to come on there for some time to sort of clear the air. I think he's had the ump with Jamie Redknapp for most of the season. Some of the comments that Redknapp's come out with and some of the stuff that Sky have done targeting people like Costa and some of our players. I think Mourinho was kind of on war mode after the game and probably saw this as the opportune moment to get on TV and do his thing. I think... He tried to be clever. I mean, what cracks me up about Mourinho is he speaks absolutely perfect English, probably better than most English people. And he was looking for a word to describe the tackle. And you know, he kept saying, oh, I don't know the adjective to say apart from criminal. I mean, that was a little bit naughty. But I think he was probably trying to make a wider point by looking at a very specific incident. You know, the language around...
He was insisting on comparing it to Costa, wasn't he? Because Sky Sports went so hard on Costa.
Well, yeah, I mean, Ben Shepherd backtracking and mumbling and bumbling, saying that Sky apologise to the club.
Yeah, Shepherd was absolutely terrible, I've got to say.
Yeah, I think it probably, if that would happen to any player, Mourinho would have just used it as an example. I mean, he went straight in naming the Van Persie elbow. Again, I mean, you're talking about intent to hurt players and stuff like that, the tread or the stamp on Emre Can. I mean, you know, Costa doesn't look at him, treads on him, gets a free game ban. Van Persie looks over his right shoulder, elbows James Tompkins straight in the face and nothing happens. So, I mean, you know, things like that, if you can prove intent by, you know, the old adage of he knew what he was doing, then surely, you know, there's more of an intent where you've actually looked at someone and elbowed them straight in the face, but clearly not in this case. I think, you know, the point about labelling the tackle as criminal, I think, again, was definitely probably a little bit too strong. But I think Mourinho was just in war mode and he was going to say his piece. I think he was referring really to Sky's, you know, tagline of Costa's crimes. And, you know, I mean, if you think you've seen the Barnes incident too many times, I mean, I think the Costa incident made Sky News. It was absolutely everywhere. And, you know, labelling to be some sort of lunatic when, you know, I mean, it's happened so many times this season where any little incident, you know, involving him is blown completely out of proportion. You know, I think he's probably just fed up with the kind of double standards. I mean, he's right. I mean, no other club seems to attract the sort of, you know, hyperbolic headlines that we do. He brought the Yaya Touré stuff from last season, which I thought was absolutely perfect example. City's most important player, you know, coming into the title running, kicks out, I think it was a Norwich player in the middle of the pitch, absolutely blatantly kicks out someone, hasn't been seen by any of the officials and nothing happened. I mean, again, if we go back to the Burnley game, if Diego Costa flew in the air and kicked someone in the leg, do you think he would escape without a booking? I mean, he probably would have got sent off for the first Barnes tackle. You know, there are double standards in terms of...
but the thing is, Costa has kicked Shackle at the end of the game and he's got away with it.
But, I mean... you've seen that he's basically been.
And it wasn't.
He's been kicked.
It wasn't
the game.
like as bad as some of the stuff that he's done this season. But he's had a kick at him, and the rules of the game says that's a red card and a 3-match ban. So yes, he might have been provoked, but you've got to say Costa gives it as good as he gets.
Costa gives it as good as he gets, but in that case, you think that someone like that would actually get some decisions going in his favour, but he doesn't. Like he gets pushed. I mean, you could talk about it being going down easily. If it was shoulder to shoulder, I would absolutely agree. But you can't run him with both hands and push someone over in the penalty area and nothing happen. I mean, that's just ludicrous. He's not had a penalty there. You could see his reaction afterwards.
I agree with you on that one. I think Shackle's arms are extended and he's pushed him over.
And the same thing, if you watch the game in detail, I mean, defenders, because Costa's a physical player and he puts himself about on that, the amount of little snidey stuff that people do to him, and then he will react, and you know he kicks out at the end of the game. But I mean, it's only really sort of replicating what he's had throughout the match. I mean, saying you know he's had a Stonewall penalty turned down. In my opinion, it was a Stonewall penalty. You can't push someone in the area with both hands. There's no shoulder to shoulder contact or anything of that nature. But you know, going back to just Mourinho, I mean, he clearly feels massively aggrieved at the moment that you know. The club at heat. Well, I mean, we're not getting for the. I said the amount of decisions we should be having given for us. I mean, these aren't even 50-50 decisions. They are, you know, to the letter of the law, black and white objective decisions. You know, the Fabregas one at Southampton was insane. He clips the ball past.
Yeah,
I
agree that was ludicrous. But to play devil's advocate, a lot of people would say Chelsea are 5 points clear at the top of the league. Mourinho should just stop winning and get on with it. They're going to win the title anyway.
But I mean, that's easy to make up though. I mean, 5 points. I mean, we could be 12, 15 points clear. I mean, you know, the Premier League is big business, and it's probably the you know the accumulation of decisions that I mean, we're not talking about little yellow cards in a game. We're talking about decisions that lead to goals being scored, and generally, if we take a 2-0 lead, you know, unless we're playing Bradford, of course, the rule of thumb is that. You know, we more than likely go on and win a game. So when you're 1-0 up, you have two penalties turned down to make it 2-0, 3-0, etc. Job done. You can switch off, continue on playing, just passing the ball around. This has happened countless times this season, and I know I can't remember who was saying it's sort of some random conspiracy theory, but you can't argue with what he said. I mean, there have been decisions that have gone in our favour this season, but I mean, in the balance of things, when things are meant to even themselves out, they're not remotely working out in that fashion. I mean, you know, I mean, City got, by comparison, a fairly soft penalty within the first 30 seconds of the game against Newcastle for, I think Dzeko got sort of brushed on the back of his legs and goes down and gets a penalty, but Costa can get penalty area running at full speed and it's deemed a dive. So,
okay, moving on from that, I do want to talk in particular about Mourinho from goals on Sunday and stick to that as much as possible. I just thought it was extraordinary that he was able to do that and basically say, I'm going to go on the telly and complain for an hour. The criminal comment in particular, I think, is absolutely disgraceful. And I'm looking forward to seeing what our club says because I honestly think legal action could be taken against that. James, what's your view of Mourinho's antics?
Well, I actually quite like Mourinho because I think it's fantastic entertainment.
I just set you up to slag him off and you've just gone, yeah, I like him.
But from a football point of view, obviously, he's ridiculous. He's just talking absolute nonsense. But he's great entertainment. And, you know, I like him because he makes a change to seeing, you know, your standard, dull, cliche manager who's not going to really tell you anything that you couldn't have told yourself. So from that point of view, yeah, it's good. But at the same time, obviously, everything he said is absolutely ridiculous. And I don't think you can go out and say, you know, go calling players criminal and say, you know, you can barely even call him a player, which is what he said. I mean, I think I saw somewhere someone tweeted the video of the goal he scored at Spurs and said, well, you can call him a player because obviously that's a top class goal. But, you know, we all know what Mourinho's like. We all know he likes to take things away from the football, and that's what he's done again. He's, you know, he's probably not happy with how his side played. Now, instead of people talking about how Chelsea didn't play, you know, like the side who were probably going to win the league, people are talking about the tackle as people are calling it.
He certainly got his way, didn't he? I mean, having criminal splash over all the back pages was exactly what Mourinho would have wanted. I think you're exactly right. It detracts from our performance, us being able to go to Chelsea and get a point. That's historic, really, in a way. I don't think that's an exaggeration to say that for a club as small as ours to be able to go to Chelsea and get a point and deserve it, I think, regardless of the referee decision. So Mourinho certainly got his own way.
It's classic Mourinho, basically. And, you know, I think...
But it's such an obvious trick. I can't believe the media buys it every time. You'd think someone would just call him out on it. I've got nothing else to say. It's just bullshit.
You know, on Saturday night when it was announced he's going to be on goals on Sunday, you know, 9 out of 10 people are going to have known exactly the type of stuff he was going to come out with, and it's exactly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't normally watch it, but I tuned in because Mourinho was going to be on, so everyone got their own way, I suppose. Michael, some of the other ex-pros as well. It's been amazing, really, to see their response when you think they'd know more than anybody else what it's like to be in the heat of the moment. I think we've mentioned Paul Merson already, but a few of the others, you suspect they've only seen the vine, put it that way, rather than some of the other angles.
Yeah, it's one of the things that's out of anything from the whole incident. That's what's really got my back up has been some of the comments that ex-pros are coming out with regards to it. And I think I heard Chris Sutton on about it today saying that how it's, you can't believe that he's not been, the FA aren't taking action. And I've seen that quite a lot in comments. Merson was one. Gary Lineker, I believe, mentioned something about it. And it's strange that they all seem to have taken it from one context, and they've all seen it, and they've seen the leg bend slightly and gone, and that's it. He's made a tackle, but none of them seem to have looked at it from an objective point of view and gone, actually, he's played the ball, it's awful.
It's a follow through. Yeah.
And it's infuriating for me to see that no one's actually looking at it in an objective way. And that, I think that's what's annoyed me more on it. And, yeah.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? I mean, when things like this happen, it's easy for people to get passionate and carried away. And I think it's this sort of thing where people take a viewpoint, and no matter how much debate and argument there is about it, their viewpoint is firm. And if anything, it becomes more firm. No one ever changes their mind about something like this. After you've seen it, you've decided, and that's it. Yeah. I think it's a really good example of how that can happen. Jordan, if we can bring you in on Mourinho then. Did you see goals on Sunday, and what did you think of what he had to say?
I didn't see goals on Sunday, but of course, watching the post-match press conferences and things like that, I think what we've touched on already is the fact that it was clever management by Mourinho to come out and say, to immediately pinpoint the, you know, minutes 30, 33, 43 and 69, because it immediately takes all the attention off you know, the game, and, you know, it kind of focuses on him more. He almost shoulders the responsibility and for not winning the match from his players. You know, he puts it onto his shoulders. I think the way he branded Barnes as a criminal, and the fact that, did he say it was something like he's not a player or something? I think it was something
he said
like
something
that.
Like that, which was incredible, really, given that he's forced top-class saves from Courtois. Really good saves. I don't think most keepers would have got to.
Yeah, I think the phrase was the player, if I can call him a player, or something along those lines.
And also, just one point that I meant to bring up earlier, I thought it was really, really naughty what he did mentioning Barnes' trip on the referee at Brighton, because that was, what, 3-4 years ago or something. And he was very clever the way he did it, because he said, oh, this is a player that's already done this, but I don't think it should be taken into account. It's like, well, you've just brought it up. You've thrown it out there. You've made sure that everyone's going to be aware of it again. And then to say that sneakily, oh, but I don't think it should be taken into account by the FA. Ah, you're not getting that past me. I know what you're doing, son. Anyway, Jordan, carry on.
So just the way it came out afterwards and kind of labelled, you know, Barnes a criminal and said, you know, question whether it was a play or not, I think that's... I mean, I would have been able to understand it if it would have been immediately after the match, because emotions are running high You know, he's probably angry and frustrated at the result, but to come on the day after when the dust has settled a bit, somewhat, and say that, I thought was a bit of a snide blow, to be honest. And then bringing up the Brighton incident, which, as you say, was a few years ago now. I mean, I'm sure we could probably all sit here and, you know, after enough time, you know, come up with incidents in the past from Mourinho's teams where, you know, they've perhaps, you know, done things that have gone against the rule book, so to speak. So, you know, if he wants to get into the fine details like that, then that's up to him. But, yeah, as I said, I just thought it was a little bit disrespectful, but, you know, here we are all talking about it, and that just goes to show, in a way, kind of, you know, the man he is, the fact that he can have us all talking about the incidents and little about the game.
Yeah, I just thought it was extraordinary, really, overall, and I can't think of another manager who would have been able to do that. Just to bring Joe in again for a final time, because we do need to move on from the game, really, and talk about some other stuff. If we can ask you what you actually made of Burnley's performance, I think we need to bring it back to that in the end. And it is amazing that a club like Burnley can go to Chelsea and get a result, regardless of all the refereeing stuff and all the sideshows that went on.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. It was quite interesting, because I think probably even you know, the perceived Sky 6 or whatever, Burnley are probably the only team that's come to Chelsea and actually not been content to stick everyone behind the ball and drop kick Eden Hazard every time he touched the ball. I mean, it was quite refreshing to see a team actually come and have a go. I mean, I think the fact that, you know, Courtois was actually tested quite a bit was pretty much, you know, testament to the fact Burnley were playing pretty well. I mean, you know, we had a lot of ineffective possession, a lot of stale possession in midfield, and didn't really do much. I think you guys defended well. You know, we're playing pretty physical, which was also good to see, that instead of sort of standing off and letting us pass it about. But no, I mean, I think it was a positive performance, really. And I you know, hopefully you'll potentially go to City and take some points off them if you play like that. I think you've definitely got a chance. But yeah, I mean, you know, thinking about the football, it was a pretty decent game. I think we weren't at our best, but you know, I think you guys did pretty well. And I think I said right at the beginning of the show that after Matic was dismissed, I mean, we were pretty lucky with that Ings sort of chance towards the end. Only sort of thankful that Ramirez is sort of one of the fastest people on the pitch, that he sort of managed to catch up with him and sort of delay him slightly. We were quite lucky that we didn't actually lose the game towards the end. So, yeah, I mean, probably even more impressive. I mean, when we go down to 10 men, teams actually will sit back and they'll take the point. I mean, you actually pushed on, and as I said, you know, we were pretty unlucky to not actually win the game. So, you know, I think it's definitely a positive performance from you guys. Going forward, I said I'm quite hopeful that, you know, you could probably at least pinch some points off City, which would be really, really welcome. But yeah, I mean, I felt it was a good performance from you guys.
Ironically, actually, we got a point at City mainly because Ashley Barnes was throwing himself about and bullying their defenders. So it's something that's already come out on your side a little bit, but yeah, we do play them soon. Just one final point then. Chelsea are competing on multiple fronts, obviously. Do you think that there's a treble potentially on? Obviously, there's a cup final at the weekend coming up. What do you think you're going to end up with?
I mean, it's tough to say at the moment. I would have been quite confident a couple of weeks ago, but some key players are looking quite tired at the moment. You know, it really will depend if Fabregas sort of kind of rediscovers some form. I mean, Oscar has tailed off quite a bit from January. It could really rely on how quickly Costa gets back up to speed. And hopefully Hazard continues to play at the level he's playing at the moment. I'm hopeful that we'll win the league. I'm not that confident about Sunday against Tottenham. I think if Mourinho plays Cahill against Harry Kane again, that will just be an absolute nightmare. Hopefully he picks Zouma, and we'll probably have a little bit more of a go than when we got trounced by them 5-3 recently. Champions League, I'm hopeful that we'll go through against PSG, but I mean, that's lottery. I mean, when we actually won it, was just ridiculous how we actually did win it. So, you know, I'd be quite content with a semi-final in the European Cup, and potentially a nice away trip to Real Madrid would be quite good. Still haven't been to the Bernabeu, so that would be pretty decent. But yeah, league, hopefully the League Cup, and yeah, a semi-final would be quite welcome.
Okay, well, best thought for the rest of the season, and hopefully you'll be able to set some points off some relegation rivals of ours as well. You've been a good sport. Excellent piece to come on and get shouted out by James earlier on in the podcast. That was very entertaining for all of us.
No, that's okay.
Well, we will move on from the Chelsea game now. It's been a different podcast than to usual, I think it's fair to say, but one of the things that we do have coming up is an interview with the chief executive, Lee Hughes, and the new chief operating officer, David Baldwin. We'll be speaking to both of those before the Swansea game at the weekend. So there is an opportunity for all of you to contribute questions. If you do have any burning issues you want us to raise with them, it's the first chance we've had to sit down with David Baldwin. I know he's very keen on fan engagement and those sorts of areas. Lee Hughes, we're obviously going to talk about transfer strategies and ticket prices and all those business sort of things. So if there is anything you want us to ask either of those, please do get in touch in the next few days. It's Saturday morning, we're going to see them. You can tweet us your questions. The Twitter address is at nonainevernet, and the email address is as ever blog at nonainever.net. So if you do have any questions, please do get in touch. Talking more generally now, though, leaving the Chelsea game to one side, results sort of went our way again. At one point on Saturday, we were actually 5 points adrift, so it was amazing to see the league table at the end of the day and see that we're only one goal away from being above the dreaded dotted line of doom, as I like to say. James, we'll come to you first. How do you see the season standing at the moment? Swansea on Saturday, it's another big game, isn't it? But they all are at this stage of the season. We're almost getting to the stage of cup finals, calling the games 12 cup finals.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, I think Saturday was a a bonus point, really. It's not something we'd expected coming into the game, and if you'd looked at that fixture at any point in the season, we didn't expect to get it. So, getting a point there obviously is a point we never thought we'd get. So it's just important, I think, Saturday, with it being Swansea, they're a decent side. I think it's more of a must not lose rather than a must win, because it's hard to call a game against a side like Swansea and must win. But, we've got to go out and do our best to try and get 3 points, because at this point, you look at the home games in particular, and we need to try and take advantage of being at home and try and get as many points on the board as we can, because, it is getting very tight, and the longer it goes on, the we're struggling to pick up points, particularly the run we've got coming up. The harder it is to see us staying up.
It's one of those that you can look at both ways. I think the two away games that we've had, we've done extraordinarily well to even get 1 point, and probably deserve more from the Man United game in particular. And that is something we can take a lot of confidence from. But on the flip side, I think it's now 1-10, so our form is still a little bit dodgy. I think 3 points could go a long way towards helping us stay up at this stage, because, as you say, it's so tight. I think one win gets you above the line, and then you're waiting on other teams to catch up a little bit. Jordan, the two draws, the two away games, sorry, not draws. I persuaded myself that we did get something at Old Trafford, even though we didn't, just because of the way we played. The results and the performances, they're going to give so much heart to the lads, aren't they? And to be able to go to these grounds and compete with the best players in the country, it's going to give us a massive lift for the weekend, surely.
Absolutely, yeah. There's two signs of encouragement that have come out the past couple of away games. I keep on alluding to it, but I do feel slightly smug at the fact that we are playing better away from home. The point at Chelsea, as good as it is, it'll account for very little if we can't at least do the same at home to Swansea, where, by many means, pundits say that the formula for survival is to, get the majority of your points at home and kind of, maybe nick a few on the road as well. So, I don't think Dyche will be allowing his players to buy into that. I think he'll be focused on very much that mantra that we've all become very familiar with now, the one game at a time. But, hugely encouraging. As Joe said, we took the game to Chelsea on Saturday, and I was there on the other Wednesday night when we took the game to Manchester United at Old Trafford. So they are big games. They are going to be pressurised environments, but it's up to Dyche and the players to kind of keep their heads and plough on through them. I've been, really, really boosted by what I've seen from the past couple of games. and it's given us a lot, you know, to be positive about. I think with these forthcoming fixtures, we know how tough they're going to be, but the way we've played or outplayed, I think, Manchester United for large spells, and then, you know, it certainly held our own against Chelsea as well. You know, if we can't be doing that against teams lower down the division, then we'd have to question whether we can cut it in the Premier League or not. But whether we do stay up or not remains to be seen. What I will say is, if we can go into that final weekend away at Aston Villa with our fate in our own hands, it will be a massive boost, and I would snap anyone's arm off for that right now. If we could, you know, play for a point or a win to keep us up, I would definitely take that right now.
I absolutely agree with you. I've said exactly the same thing to a couple of other people in the last couple of weeks. I think that'd just be huge, and I'd back us to get the result we needed at Villa if it was to come down to that. Michael, we just mentioned Villa. Villa have got a new manager. Tim Sherwood's gone in there. They've lost the first game. QPR have gone for Chris Ramsey, won a game, but then managed to lose at Hull after Joey Barton was sent off. Leicester looked like they were going to win at Everton, but slipped back. The other teams are sort of showing signs of life, but I think there's been a bit more from us in the last few weeks. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. You have to look at it and go, look at who we've come up against and how we've played as well. And we look like a team who, despite having this horrendous run of games, we're playing quite well, even though the results don't seem to be showing that. You have to look at the defeat at United, and it was a bit of an unfair reflection on how we performed apart from defending them set pieces. You look at the Crystal Palace match where we come out blazing, then we've thrown it away. West Brom, where we should never give it away again. So I think in terms of our performance, the levels are there at the minute, and if we maintain that, I think by come the end of the season, we'll have picked up enough points, probably in unlikely places like away at Liverpool or even at home to Man City, something like that. That'll see us through and keep us up the season. And just looking at the teams around us, like I say, Villa have got Sherwood in. I'm not sure even him coming in it'll be enough for them to stay up, because I've said it all season. I just don't think they've got the quality, especially when it comes to hitting the back of the net. They just don't seem to capable of it. Although Sinclair's quite an astute signing. QPR, I think they'll go. Leicester, they crumbled as well at the weekend. So unless they can start picking up some serious points, Leicester are probably one or two point defeats away. With people, if other teams around them pick up points and they get beaten two games, they'll be so cut off that I think morale will just plummet, and then that'll put them out of the race, which will be great news for us if that happens.
It is still quite wide open, isn't it? I think Hull have proven that a couple of results really gets you up the table, but it is so tight, isn't it? I think it is going to come down to who gets the results at the end of the season, and maybe that will suit us, because we have got matches where you'd expect us to get something. I think Leicester coming to the turf is going to be huge. Hopefully they'll be almost gone by then, and it could even be a bit of a walkover. And there's other games where you'd expect us to get something. It's going to be those games where we are expected to get something. It's whether they can deal with that pressure, because we've already seen Palace come to the turf, go 2-0 up, get beat. West Brom come to the turf, go 2-0 up, draw. It's dealing with the expectations of needing to win. I think that's going to be key. And Saturday will be an interesting test, because Swansea, I think they're quite inconsistent. They've lost Boney, but they're still capable of pulling off results like beating Manchester United. So that could go either way for me. They could turn up and just roll over and we could turn them over. Or they could be a really strong side. I'm not really sure what to make of them.
I was going to say a quick one with Swansea is that we've got to be really careful about the pace. The likes of Dyer could easily be our downfall if they target Ben Mee. So I think that'll be a key one. And especially to see if Dyche makes a change and maybe brings in Ward for that little bit of extra pace, but that's only if he's match ready, really.
I think that's a good point, but I think we all know that Dyche only changes the team when he has to. I think Ward will only come in when there's a place, essentially, and especially in Mee's case, that he played so well at Chelsea and scored the goal, it would be really harsh to drop him in particular. And I think the last couple of games he's played really well. And maybe he was ripe for dropping a few weeks ago, but I think he's turned his form around in the last few weeks, and it would be quite harsh to drop him at this stage. James, bring you back in. We've not mentioned Sunderland as well. They seem to be a team that's flying under the radar a bit, but Gus Poyet has gone to the extraordinary step of writing an open letter to the fans. That's always a sign that he's going a bit wrong there. They seem unable to buy a goal. They've lost at home to QPR. They've got to be another team that we can look at trying to catch, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you've got to want to look at any team around the bottom and think let's catch anyone we can. You know, I think there's plenty of teams down there who I'd say are worse than us. You know, especially if you look at some of the games where we've dropped points, and you've got to be disappointed that we haven't got more out of it. Especially when you look at the performances we've talked about at bigger teams, where we wouldn't expect to get anything. You know, we've got a point at City, we've got a point at Stamford Bridge. You know, we didn't get anything at Old Trafford, but we played very well. And I think when you look at those performances, and then you look at say performances against, Palace or West Brom at home. It's disappointing because we can compete with everyone, but unfortunately, we've just really not had that consistency against the teams around us, and you know that's like the Sunderlands. Obviously, the game at home we probably should have done better, and the game away we lost 2-0 and didn't really give a good enough showing based on the evidence of what we've done elsewhere. But you know, I don't see a reason why we can't certainly catch. Probably as high as West Brom or Palace if a bit of luck goes our way with the results.
I think that's fair to say. Maybe a little bit ambitious getting that high up the league. While we've been recording the podcast there, Sean Dyche has had his say regarding the Chelsea game and some of the decisions and the furore. I'm sure by the time this podcast goes online, a lot of people will have already seen it, but a couple of the points that he raised tally with what's been said on the podcast, and I think they're worth repeating. On the Barnes on Matic incident, he says, and we're paraphrasing this, Adam's been watching the video and trying to type it up as we've been going, so this is all paraphrased, not exact quotes, but he said, "We had one the previous week at West Brom that could have been given. He complained about it after the match and we moved on." And that shows what a classy, proper manager does when something goes his way. You have a bit of a whinge after the game, and then you let it go. You can't still be going on about it on telly the day afterwards. That's just ridiculous. And particularly on Barnes and Matic, he says his initial impression was that it was a coming together at an unusual angle. Barnes has tried to knock the ball down to Jones, and it's his momentum that swings him through the ball, and then Matic is late on the scene, and it's not in a malicious way, but he just comes through him and he hits him on the legs, which sounds about right to me. I don't think Dash could have called it any better than that. It just seemed unlucky, really, didn't it? And he's also said, when statements come out like criminal, that's obviously referring to what Jose Mourinho said on Goals on Sunday that we talked about on the podcast tonight, he says it's hard to adjust to when in live time, thousands of people at the ground, expert staff, expert players, nobody reacts to it in live time, including Jose Mourinho. There's only Matic that responds to the tackle. And I think that's the key thing for me. If a lot of the Chelsea players have been up in arms, if there'd have been baying for blood in the stands, if there'd have been the big intake of breath when there's a bad challenge, I think that would all count against Barnes. But there was none of that at all. There's just Matic who's got caught. He's furious about it. If we just do a little bit of live reaction to that, I think what he said is fair enough, isn't it, Jordan?
Yeah, that's certainly fair enough. I mean, you know, from his position in the dugout, that's a fair assessment. I think, as you said, and as Dyche alludes to, the reaction is telling, I think, and, you know, that is probably the thing that keeps Ashley Barnes on the pitch, really, even though we've all felt that it wasn't a red card. You know, Mark Tadakinson, you know, may have felt that way, had Matic gone down and started rolling about and clutching his leg, but and that's a fair enough assessment. You know, we know Dyche is certainly a fair man, and you know, we'll defend the club stoically and all he plays for us. So yeah, I think that's a good concise assessment of it.
Michael, we'll bring you back in then. Anything else to add on Dyche and Mourinho and Matic and Barnes and all that fun stuff?
I think Dyche has called it pretty much spot on, to be honest. Talking about the fall through the leg and human biomechanics, can you stop your leg? The follow through happening, and it's just an unfortunate. It is a coming together at the end of the day. So I think he's got it pretty much spot on, and it's a good reflection on the type of manager that Sean Dyche is, to be so conservative and come out with a sensible, reasoned argument about why it wasn't this criminal act that it's been described as.
I think it's quite... I mean, I said earlier, I think, before we started recording, that I didn't think we had to say anything about it. But I think he's been able to calm it down. He's very measured, isn't he, Sean Dyche? You can tell he puts a lot of thought behind what he says, whereas Mourinho's the same, but in a different way. He's raging and ranting, and he's all raging against the machine and stuff. James, you had a good little battle with Joe earlier in the podcast. Did he manage to change your mind about anything? I'll give you the last word.
No, not at all.
I mean, I don't think so.
there's plenty of examples out there of where Chelsea players have gotten away with incidents that are intentional.
There was one in particular, sorry to interrupt, there was one in particular that was doing the rounds. I think it was Mikel on an Arsenal player, and there's a freeze frame that looks every bit as bad as the freeze frame Barnes and Matic.
Is it a Cahill one?
Because
I was actually going to mention that one just as you cut me off with Joe earlier.
It was getting a bit out of hand. I felt a bit like Dimbleby trying to manage people in question time. I felt like I had to get a grip of the situation.
The Cahill challenge against Arsenal, was a perfect example, really. It was an actual challenge, unlike the Barnes incident, where Barnes has clearly passed the ball. And I've actually seen my least favourite journalist in the world, Chris Flanagan, has posted a picture that someone had put on Claret's Mad, apparently, that shows a picture of Ashley Barnes just passing the ball and then the picture of the incident. And it's exactly the same. It's clearly his natural passing motion. And it's unfortunate that Matic's got in the way, but for anyone to imply that there's any malice in that from Ashley Barnes or there's any intention, I think it's just ridiculous. And at the end of the day, you can't defend what Matic then goes and does. He goes and raises his hands. Everyone knows that's not acceptable, and he deserves to be sent off. I think at the end of the day, the referee's made the right decision. And Chelsea fans can complain about other decisions for the rest of the season going against them all they want, but that's not really relevant to us, and it's not relevant to the game, and it's not relevant to the incident. So it's all sort of a moot point.
Yeah, I think there is a bit of a danger that some of them have bought into Mourinho's mind games and everyone's against us, and he likes to build his little fort where he's defending the club from anyone having any sort of criticism. And he loves to do that. That's what he's all about, but... Yeah, they're still 5 points clear at the top of the league. They're still probably going to win the league. If they don't win the league, it'll be no one's fault but their own from this situation. It's not any sort of conspiracy or campaign against
Chelsea.
I think
Mourinho's thought is that it keeps the pressure away from his players. Football.
Yeah, exactly. It's a distraction.
If he can keep the press talking about how Chelsea don't get any decisions, Chelsea don't get this, Chelsea don't get that, the press aren't talking about, well, is Fabregas playing well enough because his assists are drying up, so... maybe Mourinho's, media ploy keeps people away from talking about how Fabregas isn't playing the same way he was at the beginning of the season. Are the wheels coming off the Chelsea midfield? That type of talk. And so it completely suits his agenda, and, that's clearly why he does it.
I think that's a good place to round off tonight's podcast. It's been a long and interesting show. I hope you've all found it as interesting to listen to as I have from my front row seat. I know it was fantastic entertainment watching James and Joe go at each other earlier on. But yeah, it's everyone's got their view on the Barnes on Matic incident, and I don't think anyone's going to change their mind. But hopefully we've been able to add to the debate a little bit tonight, and hopefully you've all found it illuminating and entertaining, at least. But that is about all we've got time for. We'll round off, as always, with predictions of the next game, even though we never, ever check back to see if anyone's right. Swansea at home at the weekend. Then, Michael, let's start with you.
Good point on that. Never checking back, actually. I always forget what I predicted. I'll go for 1-0 Burnley win.
Jordan, what about you?
I said 3-0 Chelsea last weekend, so I'm glad that was completely wrong.
3-0 Swansea then.
No, I'll go a 2-1 Burnley, I think.
And what about you, James?
I'm going to go back to being optimistic and say 2-0.
Excellent. I'm going to be the stick in the mud that goes for a draw. I think it might be 1-1 again. So that is about all we've got time for. If you've got any feedback about anything we've said, if you want to add anything to the debate about Barnes and Matic and Mourinho and all that stuff, please do get in touch. Twitter's a good way to get us at nonainevernet, or you can email us at blog@nonainever.net. And if you've got anything particular referring to the podcast, there's a podcast-specific email address as well, which is podcast@nonainever.net. Thanks as ever to our sponsors at Neville G. They're treating us for VIP experience for Swansea, so that'll be excellent. We're looking forward to that at the weekend. Thanks to everyone who's listened. Thanks to guests tonight, James, Jordan, Michael, and Joe. It was an excellent sport when we were all laying into him a bit earlier in the podcast. But that is everything for this week. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.